Dalia Malaiulu is a New Zealand-born Samoan who is a passionate educator at heart. She is the author of the Miller's Maingangana series and now Teine Samoa, fiction and ebook about four junior high school students' journey of cultural identity and discovery as Teine Samoa living in New Zealand. Ultimately, Dalia wants to enable Te Maiti to confidently and proudly succeed as Pasifika. She is working towards creating accessible quality Pasifika stories and resources that reflect Pasifika values, languages, cultures, and most importantly, Te Maiti. Dalia Malaiulu is on the line with us this morning. Te alofa lava, Dalia, and thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. Thank you. First of all, could you give us a little bit about your background, please, Dalia? Were you born in New Zealand or born in Samoa?
Yeah, so I'm a New Zealand born Samoan here in Wellington, Wainuiomata, with connections to the villages of Sinamonga and Vaivasitai in Samoa. So that's where I was brought up and currently still living here in Wainuiomata.
And were you brought up speaking the language? Were both your parents Samoan? Could you tell us a little bit about that part?
Yep. So both mum and dad are first generation migrants to New Zealand. And my sister and I here were first born here, and my personal experience with my culture was a bit rocky because mum and dad chose to bring us up in the world that we were brought up in, which is the Palangi world. So our language and our culture had a place, which was in home and in church, and we weren't, wasn't consciously taught to us. It was kind of the caught instead of taught kind of method, and if you didn't catch it, that was okay, because what was valued was what the world reflected, which is our Palangi way of succeeding and doing well in school and speaking English and doing things like that, yeah.
Your parents would not be the first parents to decide that teaching Samoan might hold back the education of their children. And it's an interesting dynamic, that yes. One. How do you feel about that as someone who is the child who grew up in that environment?
What you talk about with this issue is a big issue that I use within, that has been a motivator within my writing that I do. So it's all got to do with our cultural capital and our cultural baggage. So, for example, my cultural capital involved having to deal with two identities, being Samoan at home and then being Teine Palangi outside of our home. But when I look back at my parents' cultural capital and the way that they were raised, back in Samoa, it was frowned upon to speak Samoan in school, and English was valued, and the way to succeed was the Palangi way. So there's almost like a history of stories that have not been told or shared or not openly discussed amongst our generation especially, but because it was the norm. So what was the norm for our parents is not necessarily and should be the norm for us here now in New Zealand. So there's a lot of issues that my writing kind of deals with and kind of talks to that.
My own parents have been through similar situations in Samoa where they had, because they went to a school in Apia, they had to find other Samoan kids under the tree in the park, away from the classrooms, that they could speak Samoan with, because otherwise they were not beaten, but they were disciplined for speaking Samoan within the... And so you're right, there are some of our parents who have grown up with that mindset that the only way forward is to leave Samoan language behind. And fortunately for me, my mum was one of those ones who just pushed the Samoan language. And I am the beneficiary of that. And I can only imagine that your journey to teach your own children is to turn back the tide on that, because there's obviously a feeling within you that wasn't right. You not being taught Samoan, that is your birthright.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an issue that a lot of New Zealand-born Samoan, and or psalm wards outside of psalm ward deal with every day. And I don't think our parents consciously did it. It was just the norm. The norm was you speak English, and English had a higher value. And the value was, if you speak English, that means you're educated. If you're educated, you're going to get a good job and you're going to succeed. So it was that kind of pathway that led to us and where we're at now. Whereas we are now, a lot of my generation have such a hunger for our culture and our language. We now need the access to it, and we're losing those people who are the cultural knowledge holders. And it's, I really do believe it's never too late, but it's a key factor in a lot of the identity issues a lot of our tamaiti are dealing with today, and even adults still today. So like, for example, in my tusi, the Tēnā Samoa, it touches on all of these four girls, these four high school students. They go through the different paths on their different paths. They tackle these issues on their different paths. So we've got one who's Afakasi, who is Lani, and she deals with life as a Samoan and trying to explore that, but still having fears of that, because there's also Vi, who's part of the real Samoan, and that idea that there's only those who are from Samoa or who are fluently speaking that are the real Samoans. And we've got Tuila, who is dealing with the dual identity, who is a proud Tēnā Samoa but can't be herself because our world doesn't necessarily reflect that, the Barangi world doesn't. And then we've got Marcina, who is a typical church daughter's, a church minister's daughter, who's struggling to deal with all the expectations and the standards that she has to deal with in her life, and succeeding as Pasifika, but being pushed to actually succeed as Barangi. So there's so many issues. There's not just the one, and that's just within ourselves. There's issues, and there's, for example, gatekeepers, I believe. So last year I was blessed and lucky to attend Lani Wendt Young's annual book council lecture, and she said it perfectly. There's actually gatekeepers within our community, and they kind of are the nay or yays of whether you can access, or whether you are good enough, or whether you are Samoan or not Samoan. And we've got them everywhere, and it's so sad that it's within our culture that we have to actually battle that within our culture. And that's before we actually go out into the Barangi world to try to be ourselves and to see the value in what we actually have. So yeah, there's many issues that a lot of our tamaiti and our generation are dealing with, unfortunately. Yeah.
Some would call it, if we were different races within those classifications of Samoans, some would call it a lot of racism within Samoan, you know, Samoans looking down on people that they don't think are as Samoan on them as them. And then there is the continuum where the ultimate Samoan is the one that can speak it, you know, not only, because I myself am on that continuum. I'm not on the other end. I can't do the launga. That is way beyond me, and as an adult even, I feel lacking in that sense, you know. And I wish, and then down the continuum, you know, there are others further down. So while people might look at me and think I can speak it, no, I'm in a particular space because I came to New Zealand when I was 12, and so, you know, my knowledge isn't as great as it could be. And you're right, I think we're all somehow struggling with this thing of, am I good enough? You growing up in a school where a lot of the children would have grown up speaking Samoan would have felt that discrimination.
Yeah, I think, and definitely, I think, because my community, for example, there were hardly any Samoans. When I was younger, when I've actually uncovered and unpacked my own cultural baggage, which is something I urge people to do, because you have to understand why you are the way you are. And when I look back, I actually thought I was Māori when I was younger, because the people around me were Māori and Barangi, and I don't look like the Barangi, so I must definitely be more of the Māori side. And because I was still trying to make sense of it, which is what a lot of our tamaiti are doing at the moment, trying to make sense of their world. And because I didn't see myself in the world, and because we weren't having these conversations about what you actually are, kids are left to kind of guess and to gravitate towards the labels and towards the, oh, you must be part of this group. Okay, somebody tells you you're this group, cool. I must fit into that because they're saying that. And it's not until they're old enough to kind of grasp those concepts and have that inner reflection to go, actually, I think I'm like this because of this, this and this. But that has to come from the conversations, and the conversations have to come from within our families, so that our tamaiti especially develop that understanding of who they are and why they are. And that's a big thing, that's a big, big part of the work that I do, because what I try to do through the cultural response of professional development workshops I do, the online articles and the books I write, I still teach part-time to still stay connected with our tamaiti, all that work is to really develop cultural understanding and confidence. Because one thing you'll find out as a teacher is if you cannot get someone, a student, an adult, anyone, to feel that confidence within themselves to either give things a go, to be open to hearing and to listening and to kind of sharing their voice, then you kind of can't do anything. So I feel like that's the very first step for us, is having that understanding and developing that confidence within our families, within ourselves, but that needs to be in safe and supportive environments. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right in terms of our children, and I think you sort of hit on part of the answer in terms of cultural identity and language maintenance, which is, are the churches, well, at least in the churches where the dominant language is either Samoan or whatever island language it is, because it really does give our children that foundation from which they can then move out into the world and say, I am this, this is what I know, and, you know, these are my beliefs, and therefore whatever you teach me, I can bounce off that, rather than coming from a home where they are struggling to understand who they are culturally, and then trying and then being, as you yourself experience, being looked upon as, who are you?
Yeah, because I think there's a number of things in that. I am a product of Samoa Methodist Church for my younger years, and that was the cultural hub, and it still is for a lot of our Pasifika people, and rightly so. But a lot of our tamaiti are now turning away and going to alternative churches that aren't fluently speaking the languages that these traditional churches have. So that's one issue that's also popping up. The second thing is looking for that confidence within our families. Definitely we want that there and that support there, but in our actual world, outside of our home, where are we seeing these brown spaces? And what I mean by brown spaces are these platforms, our faces, our voices. Where are they so that our tamaiti can see themselves in the world that they're living in, outside of their houses, so that they know that what they have is actually valued? Because a lot of what the tamaiti and the conversations I've had with students over 12 years, colleagues, with professional development, school leaders, is that what they struggle with is that they want to create and provide these spaces for our tamaiti, but the system isn't necessarily designed for that, because it's all geared towards the dominant culture, unfortunately, and that's historically what it's been for so long. So they want to provide these spaces, and first of all, they don't know how to. They don't have the support of it. There's no resourcing. They want advisors, and they want to try to seek that out within their own community. They don't know how to do that. Our people also have that other issue of, oh no, because anything Samoan or island or most things, yep, that's for us, so we will encourage it, but we won't necessarily put ourselves out there. We'll wait for special weeks or wait for special events. So it's us valuing our own culture as well, and making sure that we are supporting or creating spaces and platforms for that. I mean, you look at this week alone, like, I honestly believe Samoan Language Week this week there's been an explosion of online, and I don't know if it's just because of the lockdown situation that we've all been going through, but online, it's amazing. And our generation has got a platform and a space to share their voices, share their views, how they really think. Even looking at the beautifully talented Ai Ngangale Loifili, I think she's the Aorere head girl. they are tenacious, know what they want, and they see the world, but the internet is just providing that space for them now to actually share their views. And I want us to be able to harness and support them and to grow them, because they have it. But the teachers within our system, they're the biggest gatekeepers. And depending on their confidence, depending on how they feel like they can support our tamaiti, will depend on how successful our tamaiti are in succeeding as pasifika. So there's barriers nearly everywhere for our tamaiti. So that's the part that I'm trying to work towards, kind of breaking down to make it easier for our tamaiti to support or to develop who they are and be proud of who they are in a world that accepts them as who they are. Yeah.
Speaking of who they are, and what I love about the work that you're doing is that we are not just one face. We're not just in a box. We are a whole milieu of personalities, of experiences, and sometimes that's part of why people can't find a space to provide for us, because you know, our experiences are so different. You know, as you talk about, you know, the four junior high school students whose experiences of being Samoan are so absolutely different. But I think what I love about the work that you're doing is that you are bringing all of those voices. You're bringing that multi, you know, that multi-Samoan cultural aspect to all of us, so that we all can find a space where we can all fit into, not just the Samoan speakers, not just the full Samoans in terms of blood ties, but, you know, that we are. Now, the diaspora of Samoans is so wide, we need to find a bigger space for all of us to fit in that.
That's absolutely right. When I first started teaching, you know, a lot of the conversations, or at least the PD back then, was talking about Samoans are specifically like this, 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 Pasifika are like this. They don't like looking at you. They don't. They all go to church. They all do this. And it's absolutely not, it is not the case today. There is such a beautiful rainbow of Pasifika, like you talk about the continuum. And this rainbow is so beautiful. And we are all shaped, and we are all shaped and molded by the experiences, our environments, the baggage, the cultural baggage and the cultural capital that has influenced us. And that does not mean that there's a variety of who is and who isn't. My point is that this beautiful rainbow represents all of us, and that I truly believe that there is no such thing as real and fake Samoans. I believe that if you have Samoan blood in you, you are Samoan. You have the right to claim being Samoan. And that's something, that's a belief that is, I believe, is actually growing with the support of, with the support and the initiatives that are coming up. I mean, you've got the Anganoa Samoa Class 101 going online now. You've got Ngāti Noa Communication and Culture. She's online now giving a ngana classes. There's classes popping up in communities, and there's resources being developed, and it's purely out of the need. There's a huge gap that needs to be really filled. And us filling that, it hopefully will close that gap of us being underrepresented and misrepresented. I mean, people need to, I hear comments during my professional development program, And they are innocent enough, but they are simple questions like, oh, but, you know, what's the big deal? We do support. But why would we need to if we don't have Pasifika kids in our class? And my response to that is, you need to, because there are Pasifika in the society. So we are a part of the rich fabric of this country. And even if you don't have Pasifika students in your class, would you not want to prepare them for the world outside of your class? Because that's our number one job as educators. I also believe you just need to look at last year. You had the Rugby World Cup when they mistakenly put up the Tongan flag for Samoa. We had the Otago Daily Times cartoon, which sent shockwaves throughout our community at the jab that they made at the measles epidemic in Samoa. So there's a huge need in us developing real cultural understanding and confidence, so that we don't have those issues pop up again, so that they understand what's offensive, so that they understand us and our values. So there's huge gaps, and that's why I encourage everybody, anybody, to share their stories. Anyone can be an author. I'm the proof of it. I literally had an idea through the Miller's Mind and Other series for my tomatoes because there were no books. I literally just went to work, made a book. Same with Tainu Samoa. There's nothing for junior fiction, for junior high school fiction. And then you're looking at Dr. Damon Salesa, who's now developing a high school specific history book, which is amazing. But then it also will fall on the shoulders of our gatekeepers, of our educators. So they are the ones who are going to be able to support and develop this resource. So a resource is a resource until that teacher in that classroom believes in it, understands it, and supports it. And in that way, they'll be able to support our tamaki. So there's a lot of barriers, but there are still endless opportunities and huge opportunities and huge gaps for us to fill, because I'm a big believer also that there should be nothing for us without us, basically, because they need our voices, our perspectives, and our tamaki need it. They need to see themselves in the world that they live in. Yeah.
And finally, Dahlia, speaking of voices, you are providing a voice for many of our young ones through your books. How can our listeners get a hold of the books that you've written, please?
Sure. Tainu Samoa is available on Amazon.com. At the moment, it's an ebook format, obviously, due to everything that's happened with lockdown and delays of production. But we do also hope to have a hard copy out soon once lockdowns are all released and lifted, as well as looking at Kobo and iBook format as well.
Dahlia Mlai-Ulu, author of Miller's Maingangana and now Tainu Samoa, thank you so much. Whawhitai te le lava mō lo taini.
Oh, whawhitai te le lava mō le awa noa e te, whawhitai lava, manuele aso, malevai aso, ngangana Samoa.
Whawhitai te le lava.